From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of October 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And we'll hear the latest from Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's penned an article about the corn market. It's up on the Farm Doc Daily website right now if you'd like to read it. Also, stay with us because we'll have about a 10-minute conversation with him this afternoon right here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn down 3¾ cents on this Monday at 3.87¼ for the settlement price. The March at 3.99½ down 3¼, and May down 2¾ at 4.06¾. December 4.09 a penny and a quarter lower. November beans 0.75 cents lower at 9.33¼. January 9.46¾, 0.75 cents lower, and May futures unchanged at 9.67½. July down a half at 9.75½. Next year's November at 9.73¼, a half higher. Bean oil up 12 cents, the bean meal down 80 cents for the day, and December wheat futures were down 8¾ in the lead at 5.23½ for the soft red. July, the harvest month, down 6¼, 5.37¾ the settlement price, and the hard red July at 4.56, down 7 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures, October, up 47½ at $110.95, December at 113.87½, up 25, and the October feeder cattle's down 7½. Half at 143.42½, November at 142.85, unchanged. Lean hogs for the day at $67.82½, down 12½ cents. Crude oil 43 cents lower. Ethanol down a penny and 8 cents. The heating oil off 0.7 cents. And gasoline a penny and 6 cents lower. It's at $1.60¢. Natural gas down 8¢. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 18 points higher. The dollar up 0.037. And gold futures down $6.70 for the day. Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, now joins us to discuss what's happened in Chicago and how things are going across the Midwest for the harvest season. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, tell me about today's trade and a little bit about whether farmers are actually moving. I think maybe in some areas they still are.
Yeah, we saw a big week last week, and over the weekend, guys pushed harvest progress fairly aggressively over the weekend. You know, mainly beans. I think a lot of beans came out of the field here. This afternoon's harvest progress report expected to show bean harvest about 43% complete as a nation versus 26% last week. Normally, we jump about 15-16% in this harvest progress this weekend through here. There are some ideas that corn harvest could be about 34% complete as a nation, but I think that's a little too aggressive. Corn continues to be extremely wet, and I think guys pushed the beans, so corn harvest probably more towards 30-31%, which would be an average jump from last week's 20%. Weekend moisture, kind of spotty rains through the eastern belt here this morning, but there's portions of Iowa and the upper Midwest that received much more. There's some 1 to 2 inch rains in Iowa. More snow, more frigid weather in Florida and Dakotas. And so it's going to be a little bit slow going. We'll see how their harvest progress comes out here this afternoon on the weekly report. The star or the most aggressive progress is the Nebraska-Kansas area. You know, they've got in fairly early, and they've really pushed it, so most of the progress has been made in those. As far as the crop conditions report goes, probably not a whole lot of change, maybe 1% shift around in that. But there was enthusiasm overnight, particularly in the beans, that some of the comments from the Chinese and even U.S. officials saying, you know, we're still in there. But yet we've not seen a deal signed yet or any real confirmation that one will be signed. And so with this harvest pickup and this uncertainty on the China news, the market kind of was held in check for the most part. As we move forward in through here, we'll see what this afternoon's conditions and harvest progress report shows. We have a few days open in through here. Then another round of moisture scheduled as we move into the weekend here, Todd.
Farmers have to be disappointed, of course, as they're getting into the field so late. Some of them, of course, working in pretty rough conditions, especially further to the west. I am interested to know, going to the east, though, Indiana and Ohio, to hear if you know anything about what conditions have been like there, whether farmers have been disappointed, happy, expected for the crops that they've been taking out of the field.
All the above. It's amazing. Yeah, it's highly variable here in the east. The beans are a little bit better. I'm hearing some more 50, 60 bushel beans, but, you know, a year ago, 70, 80, so better. Did visit with two producers that had some June corn that was running 210, 220. But then there's some June corn that's, 38-40% too. So it continues to be a real variable. Most generally, though, in these types of conditions, over the years I've been doing this, producers usually come in and say, well, it's better than what I thought. They had the worst expectations in mind. But overall, this Eastern Belt continues to lag from a year ago. Ground zero, the biggest target, continues to be the northeastern part of Illinois. That, man, visiting with producers up through there, it's still not real good news, being too wet early, too dry, and they're going to be really light on bushels for the most part.
What does basis tell us, if anything, at this point during the harvest season?
Corn remains somewhat firm, but yet weakening as we move forward in through here. Corn seems to be the best opportunity here. This shows that there's some demand underneath the marketplace. Basis-wise, producers have been moving towards the basis contract for December, which I don't know if it's going to give us a lot of time. So if you're going to plan on holding longer, you need to move out further, because this end of November is here going to be fairly quickly, and you're going to have to roll that or make a decision. But if you're planning on selling prior to that, you might take a look at that. But on a basis contract, I'm not quite sure if you'd just be better off selling your crop, getting 100% of your money versus 60, 70%, and avoid some of those fees involved with that. So if one has a strong basis or a strong cash bid in your area, a lot of producers have been penciling out, it's better off to just go ahead and move the cash corn and replace on paper and do their own type of re-ownership.
And finally, what do you think that they should use in the paper side of it?
It depends on your own situation. From the standpoint, you've got to have some staying power. There's a lot of newsy items that's been floating around here that's going to give this market some ups and downs through here, but I think you got to have some staying power and be out there to hang on to this crop till after the first year, at least getting to the January crop report. The ideal situation would be come in and buy a March futures contract and cover it some way for put option or do some type of option strategy on out in the March and May where you have plenty of time.
Hey, thanks so much, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, House Democrats continue to voice optimism they'll allow a vote on the USMCA, that's the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade deal, but they're making no promises. Republicans are increasingly critical of the delays. Ways and Means Chair Richard Neal is upbeat, but neither he nor Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, are willing to predict a House vote before Thanksgiving, also a key threshold in the Democrats' impeachment schedule. The two demand enforcement guarantees, but House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy says the Democrats have already gotten what they want.
The requirements the Democrats have asked for have now been met. Those milestones of the steel tariffs, the idea that Mexico would even have a vote in their own Senate to change their labor laws, proves it's an opportunity now to move forward.
Something McCarthy says Mexico's already done.
Mexico has already ratified. Canada is just waiting for us to act. You got one person in power that controls it all, the Speaker, to call the bill up. The bill is called up, it will pass. It'll make America stronger, but more importantly, who would make America stronger in their negotiations with China.
Ways and Means Chair Neal insists there are still ways to go on USMCA, despite weeks of negotiations with U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer and his reputation for working with Democrats. And one other news note for the day. The U.S. and China recently reached a partial trade deal that included the promise of large agricultural purchases by China. Well, it's not signed, but it has been announced that there's some sort of deal in the works. Because of that, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is deciding whether or not it will go through with the next round of trade relief payments, or MFP2, to farmers for their 2019 production. USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Sinski told Politico that the department is looking to make a final decision in the very near future. The Trump administration claims that Beijing will soon ramp up its U.S. ag purchases to about $40 billion a year. That could make it more difficult for the USDA to justify giving out the remainder of the $14.5 billion set aside for this year's direct aid program called MFP2. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website, this one on corn demand and what his thoughts are for this marketing year. Hi, Todd. Thanks for being with us. Tell me what you wrote about today.
Well, I was looking at the potential for post-harvest corn price rally, and you know, maybe where we could see corn prices here in Illinois going over the next marketing year. And it's really coming down to, can any supply issues overwhelm the wheat demand we've been seeing over the last few months in corn? Ethanol, we've been doing under 1 million barrels a day. Exports are a far cry from what they were last year at this year. So some of our key use components are down substantially this marketing year thus far. And I think that's why you're seeing corn prices sort of stall out where they have been recently. I don't think the market believes any production shortfall is going to outweigh the weaker demand we've seen. So for a really strong post-harvest price rally, I think we're going to need to see some serious production shortfalls in the corn crop.
So farmers are in the field. They're harvesting what they think is not the best crop in the world, of course. They're just getting a start, but they're thinking planted late, half of it in June. We had a freeze come in a normal time, but it took a large part of the Midwest out from North Dakota right on through a good portion of Illinois. And they just believe that the supply is not there.
I know the market believes it is, though. If you look at the forward curve on prices and relate it to historical basis by my calculations, the market's pricing a seasonal average farm price at $386 to $390. USDA's got it at $380 for this marketing year. That's not a huge rally. Ethanol grinds down 7% from last year, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. I don't think you'll see a lot of bushels come out of corn used for ethanol. And with a trade deal, if we see places like China start to buy ethanol, that could be a game changer. Exports are down substantially. We're getting beat in the world market, basically, by South America. I think that will change at some point, but we may be talking next year or December before we start seeing exports pick up. And if they have another huge crop in South America next year, which USDA is currently projecting, we'll see another dynamic like that late in the marketing year. Now, having said that, you know, there's been speculation about how much that winter storm did on the production damage to corn. I've seen estimates from 150 million bushels to 450 million bushels. That's not enough, to drive prices to where I think a lot of folks think it's going to be. It's going to be hard to get up in the mid-fours on corn prices under current demand scenarios. It's going to take a very sharp production shortfall. And we're really probably not going to know until January. So this thing's a slow-moving process right now. I think, you know me, I've been saying I think the yield's lower than USDA for months. But even at the yields I'm projecting, and if we even did the top end of a winter storm loss, 400 million bushels, we're maybe only down 600, 700 million bushels. That sounds like a lot, but in a 13.7 billion bushel crop, with the kind of demand we've seen, you know, that's low fours in all probability sitting here right now under what we know right now. There's a lot of uncertainty in that production number, though. I've talked in my video today about where we've seen cash prices in Central Illinois and the basis. Last couple of marketing years, we've seen basis get stronger by about 15 to 17 cents from harvest into February, March, and then flatten out. Except for last year, we saw that huge rally in July based on what people thought the crop was going to do. So barring severe shortfalls, I think that kind of dynamic may be in play again this year. So while there is the potential to see corn move into the low four range, we're going to need to see, and it has to come in, much lower production levels to get the kind of price rally I think a lot of people are assuming.
So when you look at it, this year's crop, and most people are thinking short crop, long tail. However, USDA says fifth largest crop on record.
I know, and I think it's hard for some people to get those two competing scenarios in their mind. I don't think it's going to be a big crop. We're planted almost 90 million acres, and we're probably going to do somewhere in the 160s. But depending on what that winter storm did and what the yield on the late planted stuff ends up turning out to be, you know, we would probably need something below, I think, a 162 yield nationally to see the kind of price rally that I think a lot of people are expecting. Is it feasible that that could happen? It is, but right now, you know, based on the data USDA is putting out, it seems like a long shot at this point, but now the uncertainty is huge on this crop.
There's been a big, relatively speaking, rally in the soybean market over the past couple of weeks. Is there more left there, and will it lift the corn market along with it?
I think you could see it lift corn a little bit, and some of what we've seen in the corn rally, I think, is some of that. And some of it was the production shortfall, some of it's beans doing a strong push. It really does turn out, what's this trade deal look like for soybeans? A lot of that rallies in that space, and we've seen China buying quite a bit of beans. And we had a pretty small crop because our acreage is way down, and I think there's an idea that maybe the soybeans out in the northern plains took a real beating in that winter storm. I think corn did too, but I think maybe the bean numbers are going to be affected as well. We'll see. I think there is some move in soybeans, particularly if the trade deal materializes in the way it's been talked about. I haven't seen any really hard specifics on it, and I don't know if you have either. I don't know anybody that has. A really good trade deal for ag products could lift all of our markets significantly as we move forward. If it doesn't come to pass, you know, look, you know, hold on to your hat. You're going to see some retrenchment in prices in soybeans.
So for producers who are in the field and will be for some time shucking corn, any reason to pay for storage? Do you think it will pay? Does the market tell them that? I don't think it's saying.
Right now, the market's not really saying there's a carry there for paying for storage. It's sort of flat to sloping down. You know, there's a lot of beliefs about what this crop's going to look like and what this trade deal is going to be. If the trade deal comes to pass, as a lot of folks have said, and we do see a pickup in ethanol exports and other exports to China, that's going to help demand in a lot of our sectors, in corn and beans in general. And I think you could see some strength in prices that would pay to store. I'm of the opinion that the crop's going to get smaller, and it could get appreciably smaller. If you ask me right now, I'd say 600 to 700 million bushels smaller, but it could be bigger, could be smaller. I think there's a little bit of run there for corn, but not a lot. But a trade deal, right, where we start to see ethanol exports pick up and maybe even some corn exports and definitely bean exports pick up, could provide some demand strength moving into the early part of next year. So the uncertainty is high. You know me, I'm not a big fan of commercial storage anyway, if there's a way to do it, if you're comfortable with doing things on paper. But some of those paper contracts, like options in particular, aren't cheap right now when you look out across the curve. So is there incentive to store? If you think the trade deal's there and the production's down, even if you're thinking I'm right and it's at the levels I'm thinking, I think there's another 20 to 25 cents in that.
One caveat I have to ask about. Basis levels remain strong.
They do. I mean, depending on where you're at, right? Here in Central Illinois Country Elevators, I got a graph in my video today. We're at about minus 12, you know. In some places, it's positive a little bit here in Illinois. And if we see the same kind of pattern last year, we'll appreciate 15 to 16 cents into February, March. That should be enough to carry you there if you want to put it in commercial storage. But most of, I think, the action is going to be in the futures market, right? Now, if the crop is truly strongly short, basis is really going to pick up. I talk about this a little bit. You know, I hate to start talking about the 2021 crop already, but, you know, if we get really strong basis levels in that February to April period, and it doesn't look like South America is going to short their crop, it's time maybe to start thinking about basis lock in for 2021 as well. So there's a lot going on right now and a lot of uncertainty, but I think basis will remain strong. I think it'll get a little bit stronger, quite a bit stronger, to where it could be positive in a lot of places. But I think most of any kind of rally where folks were thinking mid $4 corn is going to have to come from, you know, futures running higher. So that potential's out there. But if you're marketing, if you have a decent crop, right, if you're not having a really bad crop and you're thinking about it right now, you're running it, it may not be a bad strategy to sell some across the scale, right, and store some for later. And I'm not a big fan of putting all my eggs in one basket and putting it all in the bin and waiting and hoping, but I understand if someone wants to do that, if they strongly believe the fundamentals are going to shift perceptibly. So the demand issues are really hurting corn prices. If we didn't see exports and ethanol crush so weak right now, we'd be much higher. But that's where we're at.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Amy Sage of the Andersons now joins us to talk about the agricultural cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Amy, from right here in Champaign County. A little rain overnight. I assume that kept most people out of the field today.
It has, yes. You know, with the sun popping out and the wind blowing here, you know, we may see some guys shell some corn this afternoon yet if you miss the second round of rain. But definitely a slow day today, receipts-wise, and a good day to get the dryer caught up.
Soybeans seem to be disappearing quickly in the area.
They do, yes. Guys have really been hitting beans hard in this area, and I would say we'll be all but done with bean harvest for our draw territory by the end of this week. Even with the rain today, it will be close to done by the end of the week.
60s catch most of it, and is it on the high or the low end of that?
I would say 60 would be more on the high end. There was some May beans that caught some rain that were in the low 70s, so that was good. But a majority of the beans here, I would say 60s on the high end of that for our territory.
So you had some 50s in there then too, or more than a few, I take it?
Yes, more than a few, yes. Yep.
And what does basis look like for corn today?
Yep, corn actually has stayed firm. We're still five over the D's, and we've been that way for, I guess, over 2 months now. So it has stayed strong along the way. Bean basis has actually just continued to improve. We are now 20 under the November for nearby beans.
And so they're still hunting beans down, that's for sure.
Yes, yes. And, you know, even given the trade environment here, we've seen improvement throughout the course of harvest. And even at the tail end of the tail end, we've seen nothing but improvement here in our local market. And we've seen that at processors as well. But it has stayed strong, and it continues to stay strong. So I don't see that changing in the near future. You know, I don't know how much better it will get in the short term, but I guess it still feels like it's firm and has stayed strong. And, you know, that is reflective of the yields in this area, too, I would say. There's also a lot of carry in the bean market right now, and so people want to fill their space.
About 30 seconds on the corn basis. Do you expect as more combines begin to shuck corn that things will widen out?
You know, I could see that happening, see it soften up a little bit as we start to kind of get this second round of corn in and really get hammered with corn. I think it's really going to depend on space, and it's probably going to depend a lot on what the June corn yields. We really haven't seen a lot of June corn yet, and so it's hard to gauge how much volume is going to be out there.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons. She helps us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.